Okay, we continue in Shir HaShirim. Last week we began the fourth chapter where Hashem continues to explain his answer to the Jewish people's questions why Hashem is not hurrying up the redemption. And he talks, well, when I took the Jews out the first time, there were better stock people, as it were, and there were tzaddikim who were able to defend Hashem's honor when the Erev Rav wanted to cause the Jews to sin. So we did Pasuk Beis in the main text, but we didn't get to Pasuk Beis in the review text. So it's a good way of Chazara anyway. So we're on page Kuf Lamed Zayin in the back now by Pasuk Beis. Okay, so we'll do the review on that, then we'll move forward on that. So Hashem says, Shinayich ke'eder haktsuvos, your teeth are like flocks that are spaced out, that are arranged in a certain way. Sh'olu min arachza, that ascended from the washing. Shekula masimos ve'shakula ein bahem, that they are all, we'll see what matim, it's like they're all connected and there is no shakula, there is no loss of children, as it were, or great loss is not there. So what does that mean? In the briefer commentary, we're on page Kuf Lamed Hey. Umam Shech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vomer L'Knesset Yisrael, Hashem continues and says to Jewish people, Shebi Kol Mokom Ein Lo L'Yishayish, but still there's nothing to despair from. Shem Achas V'Shom Yiyabo Kiloin Yidei Yisurim, because you're afraid maybe there will, God forbid, be destruction through all the suffering. No. Kivan, since Sheshinayich, that your teeth, what are teeth? Remember reference? Shema Yisurim, that's the suffering that consume you. Teeth bite into. Mishulim hem, they, your suffering is compared to Keeder Hatsuvos. They're like flocks that are in separate groups. Reminiscent of Sheshalach Yaakov Leisav, that Yaakov sent to Esav as a gift. So Shulchan B'Yachad, he didn't send them together. Rak Osa Revach Ben Kol Eder Eder, but he spaced out between each flock. V'gam Shehoyelahem Kitzes, there also was a set amount to it. So that's when he said, Revach Tosimu, leave a space. When Yaakov really was davening to Hashem. Ukamoken Ayisurim Shemagiyin Locha. So similarly, the sufferings that Hashem brings to us. Lo Yavo Lecha Bo'efen Shichlosach, they will not come in a way to destroy you. V'gam Yesham Kitzvah, there's also a certain amount that it's going to be. Shalachar Mikan Tova Gula. And afterwards, redemption will come. Umavazos, and besides that, Hemgam, these sufferings, what do they do? Sha'olu min arachza, they ascend from the washing, meaning to say, Ma'alim misalkim v'roichzim es kesem avonas. They clean off, they wash off the stain of sins. Shekula matzimos, meaning what? Shematoras ha'yisurim, the goal of the suffering, ligrom to cause shekol nafshos am Yisrael, it causes all the Jews, you matimos umuchuborim l'shchina, that they all are connected to the Shechina. That's the purpose of the suffering. So, number one, the suffering is not going to be so much at one time to totally destroy you. Number two, it's meant to purify you. And number three, it's meant to connect you to Hashem. V'shakula Abraham. Ubishvil shlo yeh shum nefesh shetishakel v'yis tisabed min akdusha latuma, and also so that no soul will be shakol, bereft. That's the good English word, bereft. Again, we said it applies when a person loses their child. That the verb is called shikul. So it won't be bereft of what? From the kedusha, and they will not be lost to the tuma. L'zeh boimei yisurim. That's what the sermon are coming for. L'zakech es nafshos achoitim, to purify the souls of the sinners. Shiuchlu lachzor ulischaber l'shchina, so they're able to return and connect to the Shechina. And that's why we have to say that Tisha B'Av, to a great degree, the Navi calls it a moed. It's called a moed. Now, the word that we use for moed means a holiday, but it's not really the real definition of a moed. Moed means a meeting, a convergence, like a vad. A vad is a committee. Moed means a getting together. That's why they call it like the tent of meeting. The Ohel Moed was the tent of meeting, but really means, Ohel Moed means the tent of getting together. So the Beis HaMikdash is a place we can get together with Hashem. And that's where Hashem intended it to be. But it doesn't always work out that way. And we abuse that privilege that we have. So then when we stop coming to the Ohel Moed, we stop coming to the Beis HaMikdash, we lose the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, people who stop coming to Shul, stop learning Torah, you lose that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's about the worst thing that could happen. See, the real tragedy isn't when the suffering comes. The real suffering is when the Jew thinks everything's fine without being connected to Hashem. That's the tragedy. And the Jew himself isn't concerned about it. But Hashem is. So therefore, since Hashem is concerned, he promised us that we would be with him and we would exist forever. So therefore, Hashem has to send suffering. So therefore, the suffering is meant to cleanse us. The suffering is meant to reconnect to Hashem. And that we should not lose ourselves. That's what it's meant for. And then when the Jew realizes that, he reconnects to Hashem. And often amidst the suffering, he reconnects to Hashem. And therefore that suffering is a moed. It's a time where you come back to Hashem, even if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's the idea. You know, if you care about somebody, even if you're a great distance away from them, you're not next to them, but you're thinking about them, that's also being connected to them. And therefore, that's why Tisha B'Av is called the Moed. And that's why, you know, when you go through on Tisha B'Av all the stories, you see that Hashem has distanced the sufferings. Even though we talk about a lot of horrific things that happened, but they weren't all one after the other. Yeah, there'd be a certain period of time it was bad, then Hashem would relax it a little bit, then get bad again and relax it a little bit. So this was never meant to destroy us, but rather the suffering is meant to keep us going and to maintain the relationship with Hashem. So why isn't Hashem? So you don't have to worry that I'm not hurrying things up, because frankly Hashem doesn't have the kind of people nowadays that merit that we should hurry it up. Okay, so now that we have that, now Gimel is going to be a very important pasuk. It's going to answer a very important question that was asked last week.
Just one more quick question on that, but don't we want to reduce the suffering that could be befalling us in the future?
That's up to us.
Right. But we should.
You know, you got, person has back issues, notwithstanding Steve's sheet on that. Person has back issues. So the back goes out. So you go to the chiropractor. Chiropractor does what they do. And then they say, do these exercises. Right? They'll strengthen your core, strengthen your back. You got a choice. Do you want to do the exercises? You don't want to do the exercises. You don't do the exercises, a month later you'll be back at the chiropractor. Now, there are chiropractors, you know, and you don't want to go to the chiropractor. It's like a little bit of suffering, you know, because they have to dig in and they have to do this and they have to crack your back or whatever they do. Oh, whatever they're doing, right? You don't want to do that, but you got to do that or you're going to get even worse. Mm-hmm. But if you do those strengthening exercises, you wouldn't have to go to the chiropractor. So Hashem gives the Torah, it's full of strengthening exercises. So Hashem says, if you just follow the Torah, you don't have to suffer. You want the suffering to stop, then do something about it. That's all there is to it. This is the unfortunate realities of life. You sin, you taint your soul, you distance yourself from Hashem. That's not good. So what do you want Hashem to do? To not bring any suffering?
Then there's no relationship.
Then there's going to be no relationship.
Yeah.
Right? It's very rare that a person that's truly connected to Hashem, notwithstanding any other issues, should be suffering, right? There could be other reasons, but the basic overall historical suffering, and that's what we're really talking about in this Sefer, but we'll talk about other things as well. Historical suffering is because historically the Jews were distanced from Hashem. So therefore, this suffering was meant to improve all these issues. But still in all, even though he just said as though we shouldn't lose anybody, Gimel is going to address the issue that we discussed last week, and it's going to be a very powerful answer. So let's continue back on page Samach Aleph. Kechut Hashani Sif Sosayich. Your lips are like a crimson thread. Umid Boreich Nove, and your speech is beautiful. Kefelach Harimon Rakoseir, like a pomegranate that is split, are your temples, these temples here in your head. Mi ba'ad letzamaseich, okay, and mi ba'ad letzamaseich, we had in Pasuk Aleph, from within your kerchief. What does that mean? So he says in the Shur HaMor, Lakach ani miyasrecha, this is why I cause suffering to you. Ki muftachani, because I promised you, ani b'cho. Shelo teva'et bi machmas hayisurim. You will not kick because of these sufferings. In other words, you won't complain about them. You won't run away. Why? Ki adat, that's what I'm saying. Ki adati, because I know. Siv sosayach, your lips. Hein kechut hashani. I like a crimson thread. What does that mean? Ki kamo shahat tola shani. This color of tola shani, this crimson wool. Afim yirchatz bedvarim chamutzim vecharifim. If you put it in the high bleach laundry, right? Lo yishtana given so its color will not change. That's what it means. That your lips are like this crimson thread. Kain lashon v'dibur shazol. So the tongue and the speech of the Jews, lo yishtana machnas hayisurim, will not change because of the suffering. Likros tagor. To complain about the situation that's going on over here. Rock, but rather, Kishem Shem Avorchin Al Tova, just like you make a bracha for the good, Kach Mavorchin Al Hara, so you'll make a blessing on the bad, based on the Gemara in Brachos, that says a person is obliged to make a bracha on the bad, just like on the good. And the commentaries explain what is that. And that's from the pasuk. V'haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol moedecha. V'chol moedecha, they explain, with every measure, how Hashem, moedecha from the word midah, the measure of how Hashem treats you. With every measure, you still love Hashem. And the commentaries say, you make the bracha b'simcha, with simcha. But again, English doesn't know how to translate the word simcha. It doesn't mean joy, the kind we understand joy. But the understanding that everything is the way it's supposed to be. That's what simcha really is. Simcha is everything is exactly the way it's. Simcha is real feeling that everything's in the optimal situation.
Contentment in a way.
A contentment is the optimal situation. It couldn't be better. If you ask a person how's everything and you say it couldn't be better, wouldn't you say that's simcha? So let's take a few examples. So let's say you're at your child's wedding, and you get along with the in-laws, right? And Baruch Hashem, there's money to pay for everything. So you ask the person, how are you feeling? Couldn't be better. Could it be better? Couldn't be better. Right? If it could, when a person says, it could be better, that means, well, it's not so great. It's okay, but not so great. Simcha is, couldn't be better. So if you ask a person, so a person is suffering. So you ask him, how you feeling? Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. What do you mean? You're suffering. No. If Hashem is doing it, this must be the best thing that's supposed to be happening for me now. Couldn't be better. Yeah, but it'd be better if you'd be better. You know, when Hashem makes me better, it'll be better. But right now he's not, for whatever reason. You know, there's a lot that's got to get cleaned out. Hashem is really working very hard to save my neshama, so it couldn't be better. Right? That's the Jews obliged to say that. And that's what Hashem is saying, that even though, you know, we have to wash you up and the suffering is coming in a certain way, but I know your lips are like this crimson wool. You're not going to change your colors on me. And your speech will always be beautiful. Right? That's what he continues. V'zeh shomer, that's what he says. Umid boreich nove. and your words are pleasant. Yeah. Fine. Now, Kepela Harimon Rakoseich, your temples are like the split pomegranate. And this is going on the famous Gemara in Brachos, right? Which he's saying, Afilu HaReikim Shebacha, Reikim is temple, they're the temples, but also the same word as Reik, an empty one. An empty one. A Jew's empty, doesn't have Torah. Afilu HaReikim Shebacha, even your empty ones amongst you, Im Yu Mefulachim Umuvukoim Beisurim Kefalche Roman. Now, Rimon, if they're broken and smashed like a split pomegranate, and I guess a split pomegranate flies all over the place. All those seeds go flying all over the place. Mi ba'ad latzamaseich. But we said, mi kol makom, still in all, hey mi befnim l'kisherech. They're still inside the kerchief.
The reikim?
The empty ones. They don't go outside of the kerchief of the Jewish people. They don't go out of the fold. They don't leave. Now comes the real great line. But the basic thing he's saying is, up to this point, before coming to the most important line over here, Hashem is saying, don't worry, I know you're going to be okay. You're not going to give up. You're going to stay as a Jew. That's why I can do this to you, because I know you're going to be loyal and faithful for me. Now comes an incredible line. Now, of course, what's your question? Your question, what are you talking about? What about the Holocaust? The Holocaust, how many Jews went off from the fold, became totally secular? They couldn't take it. All right? I mean, there were many Jews who did take it. I don't know the percentage statistic. It could very well be that more Jews left the fold than stayed in the fold. So this becomes a great question on the wisdom of King Solomon. So says the Tzur HaMor, he just throws this, he assumes you know the question, and just tells you the answer. He's saying, no, you're not going to leave. Ki yadu, as is well known, she'osan she'yotzi miklal Yisrael u'meimirin dosan, because any Jew who leaves the Jewish people and goes against his religion, and exchanged it for a different lifestyle, he no longer wants to be known as a Jew. Lav mishoresh Yisrael heim. They're not from a Jewish root.
Where are you? Let's look.
Right here, Samach Beis. Samach Beis. I was just continuing to read. Samach Beis, and the Tzur HaMor. Now look at 16, is the source for this. Ayin igras teiman laharambam. Look in the letter that the Rambam wrote to the Jews of Yemen, one of his famous letters, Vizela Shoto. And this was during a time of great oppression from the Muslims, right? And there were Jews who stood fast. There are Jews who died al Kiddush Hashem. There's those Jews who continued to persevere. But there are Jews who left. So this is not a new question. So this is what he said. So he's trying to write a letter of encouragement. It's a good, one day maybe we should go through the Egeres. We should one day have a series going through Rambam's letters. There's a lot of amazing letters he has. Maybe when we finish the regular Rambam, we'll go to that. Ukvar hiftichanu habari yisbarach, and Hashem has promised us, ka'adam hanichnas ariv l'chaver, like a person who co-signs on a loan for his friend. It's enough that Hashem is our co-signer. V'odiyano, what has he told us as a co-signer? Shekomi sha'omar al Harsinai, anyone who stood at Sinai, she'maminim b'nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, and they believe in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chol ma sheba al yoro, with whatever will come. Anyone who stood at Sinai is a guarantee. Haim, they, Ubenem, and their children, Ubenebenem, and their grandchildren, and all their descendants, Ad Olam, they have a promise that they're going to stay part of the Jewish people. Shechein Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisbar, that's what Hashem said before he gave the Torah at Sinai. Hashem said, Hine Anochi Bo Alecha Ba'av Ha'anon, I will come to you in a cloud, a very thick cloud. Why? Bavor Yishma Ha'om B'Dibarai Imcha, so that the people will listen to the words when I speak to you. V'gam b'cho yaminu la'olam, and they will believe in you forever. That means the Jews will always believe in Moshe and his Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what Hashem promised at Sinai. Because every Jewish soul was there. We were all at Sinai in one way or another. And it's in this cloud, in the cloud when things aren't clear. It's cloudy day, yet Hashem is talking to Moshe. And in front of the Jewish people. And he's telling the Jewish people, they're listening to Moshe talking, Hashem talking to Moshe. And he say, that is, I did that so that Jews will always believe. They're never going to leave. Aye, the Rambam now says, Lefika, therefore Yesh Adas, you need to know. She called me Shanata Miderech Adas Hanesuna B'maymed Hahu. If anybody will leave the religion that was given at Sinai, She'ena Mizera Hanoshim Haim. He's not from this descendants. He's not from this seed. He's not a Jew. Never was a Jew. And also the rabbis, it was all the Rambam, and our rabbis of blessed memory told us, I'll call him Istapik Benavua, anyone who doubts the veracity of prophecy, Lo Amdu Avosav Har Sinai. His parents were not at Har Sinai. Hamakom Yatzilenu V'Yatzilechem Min HaSafek. Hashem should save us and save them from any doubts. V'Yarchik Mimenu Mikem, and should distance from us and from them. To bring you to doubt and to stumbling. Famous words. They're not from Jewish stock.
Like intermarriage.
Whatever that means. It could mean a number of things. It can mean a number of things, but these are not the real Jews. Okay? Now, for example, yes, there was Erev Rav. The mixed multitude, the converts who didn't really convert for the best reasons, they were at Sinai and they had children, right? So they, you know, we you know, it's one of these interesting things, whatever happened with the Erev Rav, because the Erev Rav weren't tribes. You got to really think, you know, the more you think about it, it's fascinating. The Jewish people were protected by clouds of glory. Not the Erev Rav, I don't believe so. When we marched in the desert, it was by the 12 tribes. What about the Erev Rav?
Maybe they just died off in the desert.
Maybe. It's hard to know exactly. We don't have a lot more discussion on them.
What would you do with this, Rabbi?
But there could be descendants of the Erev Rav. Could be some regular Jewish people married with the Erev Rav. Whatever. But and there could have very well, you know, have been... You know, it's hard to know exactly, but any person now, and as history unfolds, who knows? You know what marriages took place. You know, not always that people. You know, they get by. You try your best not to have intermarriage, and you know nowadays, you know, a nice Jewish boy marries a nice Jewish girl, and you realize that one of them isn't halachically Jewish. You think it's the first time this was such an issue? So let's say the woman's not Jewish. And nobody bothered to ask. You didn't always have, you know, courts that could take everything. Remember, the Jews were in exile. They're all over the place. They just got married. And the guy says, I'm Jewish. Okay, and then you see these Jews leaving the fold. They never were Jews.
This is what we're discussing with our Golos, but Ethiopian Jews know a little passionate about the Jewish.
Yes. Okay, so fine.
But I'm wondering, I mean, when you have a situation where there's two brothers and one gave up Yiddishkeit and the other didn't, you can't sort of, they both came from the same parents. So how does that
You know what? You never know.
Alright. Twins.
You never know. Or, you know, there's certain aspect was not at Sinai. Certain souls then were not at Sinai. Right? So, you know, we leave this up to Hashem.
Right.
You have to remember, the body you see isn't the real thing. It's the soul, right? So not everything always makes sense to us, right? You who's to say, you know, whatever exists, but they weren't there. Anybody who leaves never really was part of the Jewish people. Very interesting. Lav mishor. He's saying not from the shorish of Yisrael. He's not from the from that group. He's missing from the shorish. So you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. But anybody who would, because it's not possible to be left. If he really has a Jewish soul, how could you leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could you leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're connected to Hashem. How could you leave? If you're leaving, must be you never were connected.
But if you convert, you get the Jewish soul.
Well, they can always go the other way. Right? It can go the other way. A person can become.
But then we also say even a convert was probably at Sinai.
Well, there's different opinions. You know, what is that? If he was at Sinai, that's one view. The other view is he wasn't, but he now miraculously becomes a Jew. So, but that's an important thing. So people who leave... Now, remember, just because someone leaves doesn't mean they're not coming back. That's another thing. I mean, you had a lot of Jews. You had a lot of Jews who left, but then, you know, there's leaving, and then there's leaving forever. Right? So those who totally, you know, marry out and just said, I want nothing to do with my religion, and they never came back. So it's a simon. They just weren't part of the Jewish people. Okay, there's a lot of mysticism behind all that. But a real Jew, if you have that internal connection to Hashem, yeah, you can get angry at Hashem. It happens. You know, in a marriage, husband and wife, they get upset with each other. A kid gets upset with his parents. He leaves home. But if you're really a kid, right, you're going to come back. You're going to come back. If you're a real kid, you're going to come back. And if you don't come back, you really weren't a kid. Okay, whatever that means. But the proof is in the pudding, because if there's still enough Jews who have stuck around, that we still have a vibrant Jewish population. And those who went out, those who went out. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. And okay, so that's the answer to the question. That needs further elucidation. Let's go back to the back now to review it on page Kuf Lamed Hey Gimel. Od Moshe v'Kadosh Baruch Hu Lomad Knesset Yisrael B'Inyan Zeh, Hashem adds on to tell the Jewish people. V'Omer Shema Shaneim Evi Alechim Yisurim. The fact that it brings these suffering, zel mishum, that's because kechut hashani, like a scarlet thread, she'ein mishtana hagivin shlo, its color doesn't change, afilim yirchatzenu b'dvarim harifim, even you wash it with very strong detergents, kamokein, similarly siv sosayach, your lips, ein mishtanas likros tagar machmas ha'yishrim, will not change to complain about the suffering, ela umid barech, but rather mid barech, hadibar shalcha, your speech, nove is pleasant, she'at mevarecha salatova k'molera, you bless for the good like the bad. V'afim kefela harimon, and even if what? You mufulachim mufulkapim b'yisurim gedolim kepach harimon, if you're going to be smashed with all kinds of suffering like the pomegranate that's smashed, rakoseich, what are rakoseich? Harekim, the empty ones, mina mitzvah, shibucha, afilu heim yisharu tami, they will always remain me, ba'al the tzomaseich, under the kerchief, tachas hakishur v'achibur shel knesset yisrael shelo yamiru datam, to stay under the fold, that they will not give up their religion. Again, you could have Jews being secular, but not necessarily giving up their religion. That's also
right.
All right. So that's another important point. Okay, let's try Pasuk Dalid. Let's just run into this, and this explains another aspect. Now, Kimigdal David Tzavarech, your necks is like the Tower of David. Bonui l'talpios, literally it means built to teach. The tower is built to teach. Elef hamogein tolui alav. 1,000 shields are suspended from him. Kol shultei agibirim, all the quivers of the warriors. What does that mean? Dalid, back on page Samach Beis. Kemigdal David Tzavarech. Haratzim is that what he intends to say is the following. Ki atzadikim, the righteous ones, muchunanim b'shem Tzavar Yisrael. They're nicknamed the necks of Israel. Now he gives one reason, kikol ha'ol, because the whole yoke munach al tzavrei atamir chacham v'tzadikim. The yoke is on their necks. Kin Shemeres, it says in Yeshaya, v'hu mechulal mipesha'enu, he has become made mundane, desecrated from our sins. All right, so it's speaking about the tzadikim of that generation, that suffer because of the Jewish people. That's what the 17 footnote, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but that we suffer for the Jewish people is based on the Zohar. Umam shalal saman, we compare them, l'migdal David, to the Tower of David. Heyo sins, kereshayim, take it, kishibalim yisurim. When a wicked person gets sufferings, nichnochim, umeshtachim, what is coming? They bow and surrender themselves and bow to idols. On the other hand, tzaddikim, they stand straight like a tower. Samach Gimel. Nimshon l'migdol David. And they compare to the Tower of David. Kikamoshet Zion nivne. And just like Zion was built. Laman mimeno teitze Torah. Kimit Zion teitze Torah. It was like Migdol David. That's Zion. So it was built to teach Torah. V'gam boned l'talpios. It's also built to teach. Lilmod mimenu, to learn from them. Tsuras noi melechas tevnaso, the beautiful shape and the handiwork of that tower. A beautiful tower is meant for people to look at that. Wow, it's a beautiful tower. You know, you see certain things. You see the Golden Gate Bridge. You see these bridges. Wow. It's blown away. How could you make such a thing? So you have an amazingly beautiful tower. Everyone goes, wow. So to the scholars and the righteous, over every generation, so the Torah comes from them. That's who they are. And therefore, and even the sufferings of the righteous, they come l'talpios. Everyone should learn from them. To stand like a straight tower. To go up against those that to stand up against those that are going against them. To take them away from their religion. They will not pay attention to any of the suffering. So therefore, even if there's great suffering, and the tzaddikim too suffer, as we'll see shortly, and why they suffer. But when they do suffer, they teach us a lot. Like we said, the common Jew's not going to go away. And the tzaddikim, no matter how much suffering, they ain't going to go away. They're not going to bend. And you found that often in the Holocaust, where tzaddikim refused to capitulate to what the Nazis made them do. And would rather be shot than do things that they shouldn't be doing. Ve'elef hamagein and 1,000 shields. Lokach l'mashal, he takes an example. Ve'elef hamagein, 1,000 shields. And what is that reference to? V'hena cheresh v'amazgir. This is a term related to the early of the first exile, a little bit before, about 20 years or so, before the temple was destroyed. There was an earlier exile with King Yechonia. There, with him was a bunch of Talmidei Chachamim. They were called cheresh u'mazgir, which is hinting to the fact that they were so scholarly, when they opened their mouth, everyone became a cheresh, everyone was mute, no one would speak after they spoke. Because it was clear what they said. Umasker means from the expression to close. When they finished, nobody else spoke. So they were solid. And that, so in other words, that's the tzaddikim who were exiled first. They're exiled first, which would appear to have looked bad. But no. Shema Gimshal. They're like the shields of the Jewish people. Really was for protection. They were exiled first. Because, oh, look how terrible. So tzaddikim, they got exiled first. No. Bikdei lahamid yeshivas. They built yeshivas in Bavel. So by the time we got there, there were yeshivas there. V'lulehen, had there not been for them, the Jews would have got very forgotten Torah. So you see, sometimes the tzaddik suffers more, but he's only there to make it better for everybody else. Can you imagine who suffered more, the first exiles or the second exiles? First exiles weren't that many people. You're really alone. But it was the tzaddikim. And they were, even that, they would build up yeshivas. It's no different. You could say the European Gedolim, who after the Holocaust, they came to America. That first wave, it was a desert. It was terrible. But who were they there for? They're there for later Baal Tshuvas in America. And all the institutions were set up already. Very hard for these 1940s, for these rabbis to go and try to build yeshivas. There was nothing here. But these great yeshivas, they're now here. And everybody can benefit from it as the goals continues. Hey, that's Mayor. Okay, we're going to have to stop it here. We're on the words, totally alove. We're going to have to stop it there and continue next week.